Before I begin, I'd just like to mention that this last week a key was published for the Chrysobothrus femorata complex based on morphological characteristics by Dr. Welso and Manley. In this key, they separate up this complex into 12 different species, although they do acknowledge, as those before them, that this is still a rapidly evolving group and that the species limits are not clearly delimited, which emphasizes the need for molecular work to confirm what they found or show what might really be going on. Chrysobothrus femorata is distributed throughout the United States. It's an important pest in nurseries and landscapes where it causes thousands of dollars each year in tree losses. In this group, there are several intermediate forms which make it difficult to determine if these are several species or if it's one species with just a wide variation in morphological characters. It varies in color, in genitalia, slight genitalia differences, antennal differences, but they're so slight that it's most of the time it's hard to tell if they're a different species or not. Their host range of the Chrysobothrus femorata is very large, anywhere from 30 to 40 different species of trees, many of them of economic importance. The life history is typical of most Buprestids. It overwinters as a larva in galleries constructed by its feeding habits. It pupates in the spring in these galleries and emerges late spring and then throughout the summer, leaving a characteristic D-shaped exit hole from the host. The female the tapping in color, I wanted to mention that in the literature there's mention of males tapping on branches with their abdomen. It's thought that maybe this could be some sort of mating call or territorial display. It's also hypothesized that color may play some role in their mate selection. The female, after she's mated, she feeds on bark, and about a week later, she'll lay her eggs in the cracks and crevices of trees or anywhere that there's some kind of injury to the tree. And this is typically around the trunk of the tree is where see damages in nurseries and landscape. The larvae bore into the cambium layer where they'll feed, and development takes about 1 year and sometimes occasionally 2 years, but typically it's a 1 year development to adult. This complex is divided or was divided into five different species: Chrysobothrus adelpha, Rugosiceps, Viridiceps, Sloacola, and Femorata. And as I mentioned before, it's thought that there may be more species. Their distribution is very similar. Adelpha, Rugosiceps, and Viridiceps all are from the Midwest to the eastern United States. Femorata is throughout the United States, and Sloacola is only found in Michigan. I only concentrated on the four species that are in the complex. I did not trap in Michigan, so I don't have Sloacola. These are, so you can kind of see the differences in the genitalia. The Adelpha species is very obvious because it has the two lateral spines. Viridiceps, likewise, is fairly obvious. The overall shape of the genitalia is slightly different. And also in one of the lateral lobes, there's a slight constriction on one side. So they're easy to pick out based on genitalia. The problem lies, using this characteristic, between Rugosiceps and Femorata. The only difference between them is the tip of the Ediagus is slightly narrower in the Rugosiceps. However, several specimens that I've looked at, it's sometimes difficult to tell if it's wide enough to be Femorata or narrow and actually Rugosiceps. Antennal segments are also important in two of these groups. Femorata, the 11th antennomere, is more rounded and it's smaller. This also has sort of a reddish tinge to it a lot of times. Rugosiceps has the 11th antennomere quadrate. And these are kind of the ideal specimens that I took pictures of. The rugosiceps also, you can see the yellow on the antennomeres. Those, that actually, sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not. Viridiceps, it typically has that yellow for the males. And Adelpha, the antennal segment, isn't really used in the keys that are available right now, but that's what it looks like. My objective with this research was to elucidate the Chrysobothrus femoratus species complex using COX-1 mitochondrial gene. My methods for trapping, I used the purple traps, which if you've gone to the Emerald Ash Tree Borer talks, it's the same ones that they're using. Dr. Jason Oliver is the one that developed these. And it's basically just a purple panel with some sticky resin on there, so the beetles are attracted to the color and get stuck in that resin. And then you come back and you collect them. I used those mainly to collect my beetles. I also reared some beetles, extracted larvae from trees, and I also had some pin specimens sent to me by Welso. And what I did was I took these beetles directly off these traps and just placed them into 95% ethanol to preserve the DNA until I was able to extract it. And you can see in the map down here, these are the states in which I was able to either trap, rear larvae, extract larvae, or I got pin specimens from. Mississippi, Georgia, Tennessee, Ohio, and Iowa are where I trapped. Texas is where Welso sent me some specimens from, and Kentucky is where I extracted some larvae from some host material. Once I got them into the lab, I had to remove the sticky resin so that I could extract the DNA. I did this with a detergent and found that it did not harm the DNA in any way. After I removed the sticky resin, I identified them to species, separating them up, and I took three legs off of each individual. On a few of them, I had to take meat from the thorax to do the DNA extraction. I saved whatever was left of the beetle, which most of the time was just the beetle minus three legs, into a vial of 95% ethanol and saved it in the freezer. The specimens that I chose, I looked for variation among the specimens. I also wanted to vary them according to location to see if the species was isolated in one part of the country. I also looked for different emergence times, so I took early, mid, and late season specimens. I used PCR to amplify the COX-1 gene. It was approximately a 600 base pair fragment, and I sequenced that and I edited it using Sequencher and did the analysis with POP. And here's the tree that I got. You can see the ones in color are the different groups of femorata which came out, and the ones on top are just other species that I caught in my outgroups. Viridiceps and Adelpha, there were a total of 8 maternal lineages that came out. Viridiceps and Adelpha were monophyletic, and when I went to the species that I identified as femorata, Chrysobothrus femorata, they actually came out into 6 different groups. One of these groups at the bottom, you can see if you look close, because I know it's small, but if you look, you can see that Rugosiceps and Femorata came out in the same clade. And I wanted to make sure that this wasn't some mistake of mine, so I went back. Since I had the specimens, I could check them to see if I had made a mistake in identification, and indeed I hadn't, so they were coming out in the same clade. I also went through, I did have a pre-published key that Welso sent me, although it wasn't complete, it was based entirely on color. And he has, in his key, he has genitalia differences and other morphological differences that he describes. So since I had the color, I looked at all these trying to decide if I could nail down which of these clades was the species that he was talking about. And indeed, I still found a lot of variation within each of these groups, which to me suggests that there's interbreeding going on between the different femorata species that he's described. And And in fact, also between Femorata and Rugosiceps, there's interbreeding going on. The next step I need to take is I'm going to look at a nuclear gene to try to determine if there is indeed interbreeding going on between these different groups. I also am going to compare, now that I have the full key, I got it probably 3 days ago, I'm going to compare his morphological descriptions with the different groups that I have and see if those match up. And maybe it's just the color is variable. Maybe the morphological characteristics, such as genitalia and elytra differences, are real. And also to develop a diagnostic to these different groups of Femorata so that we can tell which species are where the lines are to be drawn. I'd like to acknowledge my committee members, Dr. John Moulton, Dr. William Klingemann, Dr. Jason Oliver, and Dr. Mark Windham. Also those that trapped for me or sent me specimens, Dr. David Boyd from Mississippi, Dr. Michael Redding from Ohio, Dr. Ted Cottrell from Georgia, Stanley Welso, and Nadir Youssef, Josh Basham, which provided me with some pictures for the slideshow and also trapped for me, and Lee Rowdy Bush, who trapped for me in Iowa. And I'd be happy to take any questions. Well, I'm looking at, I've already started to use a gene, CAD gene, and it seems to have some polymorphism, but I haven't sequenced enough individuals to be able to tell yet what the difference is.